Hey everybody, and welcome to Lady Business Plus. I'm here with Susan, who I've once again dragged back on the podcast to not discuss Misha Collins performing auto fellatio on himself. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Nay. I'm sorry. She did say that expressly to make me giggle before she introduced me.
Yes, that was completely accurate, and I'm a great friend.
She's the best friend. You should all be friends with Nay.
We're here to talk about a bunch of stuff, a bunch of bookish stuff and TV stuff that's happening. It's 2014, it's a new year, there's lots of new things going on.
So many new things.
There's too many, I'm already behind, it's the 8th, I don't know. When it became the 8th.
It's the 8th and already your book list is 4 miles long?
My book list is now 8 miles long because I just got done with Anna and Thea's Smuglovis stuff. And everybody kept mentioning books. I'm like, I need to read that, and I put it on my list. I've done nothing but read fanfic for the last 8 days, so I'm a little behind.
I'm having a similar problem, but less with blogs and more with, I keep reading nonfiction stuff that mentions a load of other titles. Like, I've got my own copy of How to Suppress Women's Writing by Joanna Russ for Christmas because my mom's amazing, and it's just... Okay, pad, paper, book, making myself a reading list.
Yeah, I noticed that all the nonfiction I have on my list will, if I go and look it up, it'll give me on Amazon, it'll give me those little related titles or people also bought, and I'll just go through and this sounds awesome. I spend all my time looking for stuff to read instead of actually reading it. It's a problem. And then I go read fanfic for 3 hours. Oops.
That is the best way to do it. Science has shown.
I just don't have a good attention span. And so, I have to buy those books, and with fanfic, I can just get it for free. I'm easy.
And fanfic has a lot more gay porn?
That's true. Also, that's accurate.
And a lot more of the terrible tropes that you know and love.
That's, yes. That's really funny. I've noticed in a lot of the reviews recently... of Mira Grant's Parasite, which looks amazing, and I'm going to read it soon, that people were complaining about the repetitions, the characters are the same. I got to thinking about that, how they're using it as, something critical, something derogatory. And I got to thinking, and I realized that that's what I like. I like things to repeat. I guess that means, I don't know what that means about me as a reader. It's like comfort reading, I guess, but not exactly like comfort reading.
You want something familiar.
And so that makes me... So when people have reviews going, oh, this is like their other work, I'm like, yes, sign me up. I'm there. I will buy it in hardcover.
Will you want it to be like their other work? Okay, I say that. I don't want Maggie Stiefvater's work. I don't want anything post the Scorpio Races to be like her earlier stuff, because I've tried her earlier stuff and I can't get into it.
She's just grown as a writer in a way that I really appreciate.
Yeah, but you generally start following an author because you like what they're doing, so her stuff being similar makes sense.
It's not even that her stuff is similar in the way that people critique Mira Grant. It's that she's got the same tone, and Mira Grant does that too. She's got the same really chatty tone. It's not that her characters are the same or her plots are the same. They're familiar, which is different than being the same. And I don't mind familiarity. It's something that I appreciate. If I want something different, I know how to find something different. But if you know an author is going to be writing to a formula, if you hate formulas, why would you read them knowing you're going to hate it? I mean, really? So that's kind of what I've been realizing. Because I went through a lot, a big... huge chunk of my last year was spent going, well, I read too much fanfic, I'm not into fiction, and I feel really bad about that. But now I'm like, no, I don't feel bad about it anymore. I am okay with liking repetition. I don't think it makes me a bad reader or an uncritical reader at all.
You're possibly one of the most critical readers about everything you read. You have done massive critical pieces on fanfic.
Yeah,
I remember
we don't
those.
Publish them. That's me. I will email it to you, but I will not post it publicly because no, I'm not an asshole. I mean, I am an asshole, but not in that way.
You're not publicly an asshole.
True, yes. Except when I, you know, fail and, you know, make people angry at me. Oh, well. So what have you been up to, like, reading and watching wise so far in the 8 days that have suddenly passed in January that have gone somewhere that I didn't realize they went?
Since the new year, I've accidentally ended up maxing out my library card. I've got a staff library card. People who listen to this won't know, but I work part-time in the library. And I volunteer in an Oxfam that sells books. So I accidentally ended up with a steady stream of new books, and I get 24 books on my library card. Yeah, my new year, it's pretty set out already.
What the? How do you get so many slots on a library card for books? What? I think my library offers like 10.
The library I work at, you get 16 if you're just a general member of the public, and then 24 if you're staff.
Do they want their staff to come to work the next day? It's not like binge drinking. It's like binge reading and or watching.
Yeah. I can see my pile here. I've actually put it in a box because it's the only way to stop it just being everywhere.
Your library holds in a box. Jesus Christ. That's beautiful.
I discovered that my library has Persephone books. It's the book publisher that does a load of classic fiction, usually by or focusing on women, and republishes it. And I found a secret stash of them in my library, so I've just got a massive pile of those right next to the pile of comic books and shoujo manga that I got earlier in the year.
Okay, what's in the box? Just go for it. What's in the box?
Right. What's in the box? Okay.
I need to know. But those are two things, which obviously sound great, but what else is in this box?
Okay, here are two Persephone books. Fire and Thorns by Ray Carson. And the sequel to that is in here somewhere. You're not a library book. You don't belong in here. Oh, I finished The Thief by Megan Whalen-Turner.
Yes.
I know you weren't massively keen on it.
No, I wasn't massively keen. I didn't hate it. Which, I mean, from my post where I posted about it, you might think I hated it. I was just mad because she took that, and I won't spoil it here, but she took what she did until the very end. And I'm like, really? I figured this out. And I was like, we're going to keep going with this? We're not just going to reveal? Oh, okay, fine. I was just so tired of the whole, like, I was just tired of that trickery. I guess. I don't know what you would call it. I was just tired of it. I'm like, can we just come out with it? Really? Do we have to go all... Yes, we do. Okay, well, it's fine.
It is a kid's book.
That's true. I'm sorry, kids, for judging your reading material so harshly.
Skip Beat. Sorry, I just found my copy of Skip Beat. I need to put
which
that away.
Which you want
away.
Me to read? I'm terrified. I read about that. I'm like, really? She wants me to read this? Of all
things. It's delicious crack. I get a new volume because I'm getting the Viz Big Editions, the 3-in-1 books.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will just spend, like, the next 3 days going back through it. I can't stop. It's a genuine problem.
If I read Skip Beat before I read One Piece and finish One Piece and get caught up, Rose will fly to Arkansas and she will kill me. Do you want me to die? I can't read anything except unless it's One Piece. Anything in manga unless it's One Piece. I'm really sorry. But I have put it on my list because it does look sort of interesting in a, you know, cracky shoujo way. So we'll see.
I think it's really cool because it does stuff like have a shoujo heroine who starts off with the, oh, I'm so happy and polite and pleasant and everything's wonderful, even when it's really not. And then it breaks her. Not in a creepy way, in a, you were just unspeakably cruel to me. I am going to ruin your life. And I love it. It's not quite a subversion of the trope, but it is amazing and I love it. And it will probably make you sad because it's full of people with family issues.
Oh, my favorite. People with family issues. Great.
They don't come up as often as you'd think.
But okay, on a scale of like 1 to supernatural, how painful is this?
Nowhere near supernatural levels.
Good. Okay, I can handle it then.
In that, you know, there's female friendships. Her best friend is a girl, and this is the most important one of the most important relationships in her life. And they both live!
That's great. It's already winning me over. I'm impressed. So, okay, Skippy, Persephone books.
Yep, I'm just excavating the massive pile of Persephone books. The current count, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Persephone books. My library only has 22 of them. And I've got nearly half of them here. The Dead Witness, which is a collection of Victorian crime fiction that says it's got a load of stuff with female authors and female detectives, which is why it is on my pile of stuff. Because Victorian PIs. Victorian lady PIs. That's amazing. Throne of the Crescent Moon. I have no idea why you're here.
Is it a library book?
It is a library book. I don't remember why I took it out. I think this might just have been a, oh God, there isn't any room on the sci-fi shelves. Yoink. You think I'm joking. That was actually my thought process for one thing. I just can't remember if it was that. Mouse Guard? I do like Mouse Guard. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It's a comic book that's kind of Redwall.
I also don't know what Redwall is.
Okay. It just occurred to me that your childhood was very deprived. I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yes, now you understand the crippling nature of my lack of genre education as a child.
Redwall was a series of books written by Brian Jacques. I have no idea how you pronounce his name. About basically anthropomorphized animals. It's mice and rabbits and badgers fighting against evil weasels and living in a monastery and fighting with swords and
this
bows
feels
and
familiar to me for some reason. I don't know why.
I want to say if you've ever seen the Disney Robin Hood thing, it's like that, but it's really, really not.
But with less southern accents. That's what you're saying. Hopefully.
But yes, Mouse Guard is mice with swords and adorable little hats. Sorry, I'm looking at the art and it's very cute. There are teeny mice with massive ears and adorable hats. They're fighting against bats and owls and foxes and other things that want to eat them.
I'm really, the deeper you go
also with swords.
The deeper you go into this box, the more
the weirder things get.
Yeah, what else? Can we, like, let's reach the bottom. What else is in here?
Science fiction authors, a research guide by Maura Heafy, which I've been meaning to tell you about for maybe a month. I've not read it yet, but what it appears to be is just a directory of sci-fi authors with their biography and a list of all their major works. And it's one of those, I want to get you a copy and send it to you, but also I want to actually go through it and see whether it lists any female sci-fi authors apart from the obvious.
Don't send me depressing mail, that's sad.
Like, it's got Alice Sheldon.
Right.
James Tiptree Jr. And it's got Octavia Butler. They've got the big ones. Melissa Scott. I don't know who she is. Sorry, I'm just flicking through
it. I read a story about her in an anthology, The Other Half of the Sky, and which I really need to finish and review. I just feel so stupid. I don't know how to explain. Like, my review of, I have a review file for that book, The Other Half of the Sky, where I wrote it out. It was like 1,300 words, and I reread it, and at the top of the document, apparently while I was sick, because I wrote it while I was ill, is, you are an idiot, and this sounds super dumb. And that was it. That was all I wrote. And then when I went back and read it, I read through the review, I'm like, I don't remember writing this at the top of this review, but it's accurate. So I need to save myself and not post
you.
It. I don't know. This book made me feel so stupid. It didn't help that the introduction of this book used words that I was like, what the fuck? I have to go get a dictionary. It's not good. I don't know. I feel like an idiot most of the time when I'm reading some short stories. I'm just so bad at short stories, Susan. It's terrible. I don't understand how people get stuff out of them. Like, what? Okay, well, it's great. It's a story, but what does it mean? I feel like I'm back in, like, my British fiction class where she wanted us to read all these, like, experimental short stories and then explain what we think it's about. And am sitting there in front of 30 people having no clue what to say, making shit up. It's that horrible, crushing feeling of inferiority at reading.
That sounds like Cruel and Unusual Punishment. I'm not even joking. That sounds terrible.
Welcome to my university that I graduated from. That's
horrible. I would like to not subscribe to this publication. Also, Nate, another thing I need to tell you that you'll be quite excited about. Guess who got a copy of The Raven Boys out of the library?
Oh my god, yes! I'm sorry. I'm really excited. That makes me happy.
I am quite excited. I want it.
I keep peer pressuring everybody to read this book. And I don't think it's working. Justin accused me of harassment the other day.
To be fair, the peer pressuring worked. It's just I hadn't been able to find a copy, and now I have one, and it is my precious.
You should now make it the first thing you read after we get off here. You're going to get off the podcast, and you're going to read that book, and you're going to finish it before you go to bed, and then you're going to email me immediately.
No, I'm going to get off the podcast and start flailing about Mass Effect.
Oh, God.
Because you want me to email that to you before I go to bed. That is your options, Nay. I can read The Raven Boys or I can flail about Mass Effect.
Okay, I'm going to have to choose Mass Effect. Why did I do this to myself? God. Scheduling. Fine.
I'll just see if there's anything else in this box that I need to tell you about.
I'm just amazed at this magical box of stuff that apparently you have a box of books. You had to have a box. I've never had that many books out of the library before, I don't think. That's talent.
I actually got myself one of those little wheeled trolleys that you can get.
It's getting better and better.
Yeah, just because when I go to the library, I can't carry all the books back without losing feeling in my fingers.
How many of these do you actually read before you have to return them?
Depends on how much stuff I've got going on. Usually I get through a decent amount because I'm stuck on a train minimum 8 hours a week.
Oh, yeah, we don't have trains here. They don't believe in them.
I spend a lot of time on public transport.
They don't believe in that either. I understand now. That makes sense.
Yeah. This is why I have more time to read.
I would have more time to read books if I read less fanfic, to be honest.
But the fanfic readers, they will pine and wither away because
they will not wither away from the lack of my attention. Mean lurker who, like, sits behind them and, like, sneaks up to read their stuff and then sneaks away so they won't know I'm there. No, I'm a terrible person.
But there are like buttons and kudos buttons for just this occasion,
yeah,
Nay.
But I know, I just feel really, like, I feel, this is stupid. This isn't the level of my social anxiety after 2013. I don't like to talk in public anymore because I don't know how it's going to go. So I'm like, if I had this kudo button, people are going to judge me. They're going to judge me. They're going to see my name and judge me. And it's stupid, but it's there. So I need to get better at it. Nobody's going to judge me. People like kudos and comments, and nobody cares about me. But that's, it's irrational, but that's how social anxiety works. You just think everybody's looking at you, and I can't handle it.
I wish I could help.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. That was really depressing. What's in the box? Finish the box.
What else is in the box? The Brides of Roll Rock Island? I think that's one either Anna or Jodie was talking about.
She wants everybody to read that book. She's been after me for a while.
I thought it's Mammoth Book of Nebula Awards, which is apparently a short story collection full of award-winning science fiction.
That sounds cool.
It does sound cool. I don't remember getting this out of the library.
Well, you have so many books in that magical box, it's apparently never ending.
Also, do you remember when we were talking about Across the Ever Sky and its terrible cover?
Yes, I do remember.
I've got the sequel. The cover is still quite bad.
Well, what are you going to do? Why book art and I don't get along? That's just, I'm resigned. I'm just like, it's not for me. That's fine. But I don't like it at all.
Some book art is really good, and some of it's really good once you take it off the book. Like, a lot of the stuff on that Hugo Art Tumblr looks really good, but you know that as soon as it gets wrapped around a book, it's just not gonna work.
It depends on how they do the typesetting, the font. I've noticed that they choose these fonts that make the art look bad. They overtake the art, they're not subtle enough. And I don't think it's the art's fault, I just think it's the people who don't know how to choose fonts. Or font colors, for that matter.
I don't see the point of getting really nice cover art if you're just going to cover it with text.
Why? I mean, I get that the title needs to be large. It's a shelf thing. But I... And I didn't go to school for this. I don't know. I just know what I like, and I don't like the text to take over the art. I just prefer, like, the art to be attract the reader, too.
Mm.
It's very complicated. I'm going to get hate mail.
As long as it doesn't do any of the race veil stuff, I will live with cover art. Like, if it doesn't pull a Liar or a General Bloomsbury, I will live with whatever terrible cover art I get.
A General Bloomsbury. Wow. What a thing to be remembered for. That's fantastic. I bet that, I wonder sometimes if they just look back and go, God, what fucking idiots we were. But probably not.
I'm pretty sure they did it at least twice. It wasn't just with Liar.
A General Bloomsbury. It's going to be great. That's what we're using from now on. That's going to be the term for while watching it cover. They Bloomsbury'd that.
That is a thing to be remembered for. I'm not well. Oh god, I'm finding more books. Oh god.
What is this box? Does it have a space pocket at the bottom? Like, what's happening? Are you going to pull out a transformation wand and turn into a librarian? I don't understand.
The problem is, it's sort of overflowed. I'm discovering piles of books next to my box of books. I have too many books. I never thought I would say this.
Congratulations.
But I have too many books.
The first step is acceptance. I don't know. Is that the first step? I don't know.
It's admitting you have a problem.
Okay, well, congratulations. I'm glad I could be here at this hour of need for you. I'm here for you. I'm here for you, bro. Give you a hug.
If they weren't library books, I would be sending some of these to you just to go, nay.
Take it out of my house. Here, I'm going to put this across the ocean to get rid of it. That's how bad my problem is. I've got enough. I've got plenty over here.
That doesn't mean you don't want more.
For Christmas, my mom gave me basically $175 worth of gift cards.
That sounds like it will end badly and amazingly.
Both. I have a list. Most of it's nonfiction, actually. I'm doing that thing where Claire got me hooked on fan history. And so I'm doing a lot of exploring some fan history texts, and I'm probably going to end up using the money to buy those, because they're expensive. Surprise!
They are.
I mean, I bought Battle of the Sexes in Science Fiction by Justine LaBelestier, and
it was... Daughters of Earth?
No, it's a different one. There's another one. I didn't get that one. It cost $15, which was pretty decent for nonfiction, but most of the nonfiction I want is running, like... really a lot of money, unless I want to buy an ebook, which I guess I'm going to end up doing. I hate doing nonfiction as ebooks. I like to buy nonfiction because I like to write the books and then keep the books because I'm learning and I want to take notes. I haven't really jumped on the ebook bandwagon with nonfiction yet because it's really hard to like make notes in ebooks.
If I'm reading nonfiction for fun, I want it in paper copy because nonfiction on my computer feels like uni work.
Yes, that's a perfect way to put it, because that's where I used to do all my university reading, was on the computer.
Mm. Yeah, same for me. All of my essay research is stuff I get through the library or Google Scholar. It's not a good mindset to be in when I'm reading a thing for fun.
So what have you actually read in the last week?
It
didn't have to be out of this box, which apparently is going to go on forever, and we had to move on.
No, we've hit the end of the box.
So what have you read in the last week?
I finished The Thief. I read Skip Beat. I read a kind of cute little papercraft comic called Wear Out by Philippa Rice, which I doubt you'll have ever heard of.
No, you're right.
I think it's one of the tiny things that my friendly local comic shop promotes. Because they do a comic book of the month thing, and they seem to pick the teeniest, most obscure titles, or at least the ones they least expect people to find on their own.
So sweet.
I know, it's very cute. Wear Out was this month's comic book of the month. It's going to turn out that Philippa Rice is actually a big comic book name, and I've just never heard of her.
Don't feel guilty. There's a lot of authors I haven't heard of.
Also, I got my trade paperback copy of Watson and Holmes. I don't remember if I ever told you about this.
No. Apparently you're keeping secrets now. Book secrets.
Oh, the worst kind of secrets. Yeah. It's one of those Sherlock Holmes in the modern day settings. And it's one of those Sherlock Holmes in the modern day in America settings. But Holmes and Watson are both black. If you ever saw Baker Street Towers when it was a thing on Tumblr.
No.
It's...
No, I didn't. Okay. I blocked it. Okay, listen. The way I handle Sherlock on Tumblr is that I put all those tags. I blocked them because I'm so sick of Benedict Cumberbatch's face. Every time somebody sends something across my Tumblr dash that's about them, that's not tagged, it seems to be super negative and horrible. So most of the time I miss most of... The only Sherlock news I've had recently is that a judge ruled that the characters were in the public domain.
Which really threw me because they've been in the public domain over here for years.
Yeah, but come on. America's like a fucking special snowflake with their copyright laws. You know we gotta do it differently, like assholes.
And there is that one crazy lady who thinks that she owns all copyright to Sherlock Holmes.
This is why copyright should not be extended. It makes people nuts.
It does a bit.
So no, you were saying about this thing that you were...
Oh, yes. It's pretty much my favourite Sherlock Holmes adaptation, because... The mysteries are good and make sense, which I'm led to believe is the point against Elementary. And it is not racist, which is the major point against Sherlock, which is that it's a racist pile of wank. There was only one episode of Sherlock that I have seen and liked without reservation, and that was the first one. And then the episodes after that have either been racist, sexist, badly written...
You're actually going to say that they're not all badly written? I'm really surprised. I thought that that would be, like, completely, like, covered all those episodes.
Yeah, but that's fighting talk.
It's fighting talk. Well, maybe now we'll actually get hate mail over my
Now
hatred.
We are definitely going to get hate mail.
It's fine. I understand why people like Sherlock.
I like bits of Sherlock, and I like the idea of Sherlock. It's just... The more distance I get from the actual watching of it, the less I like it.
You like it when you're watching it and you get away from it and you're thinking back and you're like, I feel gross.
Yeah. Except for episode 2.
You just felt gross the entire way through. Like, what the fuck are you doing, Muffin? What are you doing?
He was updating some of the racism.
Thanks, from... BOTUS.
Yeah. No, that didn't work. Don't do that. And my sister has now just actually quit listening to this podcast to come on Twitter and shout at me. She doesn't know she's done it yet, because this won't be up for another few weeks. But Jilly's screaming at me and she doesn't know why. I quite like it as a Sherlock Holmes adaptation. I think it's really cool.
What is it again? What's the title?
Watson and Holmes. Written by Carl Bollers. Drawn by Rick Leonardi. And coloured by Paul Mendoza. And it is apparently set in Harlem. So that's where I thought it was. And then it was, oh God, is it actually? Have I gone mad?
Maybe.
I don't know
how you find these things.
One of my friends also likes Sherlock Holmes, but has a comics addiction. So he got it on his tablet, showed it to me. I've bought the paperback, which means that we can now ambush people and lend it to them easier because we don't have to give them his tablet.
I like how your friend group does book recommendations. You call it ambushing. I'm going to adopt that. It's an ambush! A book ambush.
It's the best kind of ambush. What have you been reading, Nay?
Oh, jeez. Well...
Apart from 40,000 million words of fanfic.
A lot of really great Supernatural fanfic, honestly. A lot of porn. I don't know, I mean... Just put it that way. Like you can fix those AO3 search things to be like, I just want to read all the explicit fic that you have for this pairing.
Problem. Yeah, whenever I try that, it goes, we can't find you anything. I'm sorry.
Whenever you try that, well, that's because you don't follow juggernaut pairings in large.
It's true.
You can get rid of your principles, and then you can find lots of explicit fanfic. I promise.
But I don't want to read Supernatural fanfic.
Why are we friends? This is horrible. My heart breaks.
We're friends because I'm the one that you go, Susan, do a podcast with me about Supernatural. And I go, yeah, all right.
Okay.
That is it. That is literally why we're friends. Because you go, Susan, do the thing. And I go, yeah, sure, I'll do the thing.
Our friendship is built on peer pressure and harassment. I feel so cold. So no, recently, what have I been reading? I picked up Understanding Comics from the library because I've been reading more comics. I mean, I don't really understand how comics work. I know how books work because it's words, and you can eventually, if you like a book, go back and read it critically and figure out how authors are doing stuff. But I don't know how to do that with comics, and I'm very bad at comics and manga and understanding like what the frames are doing. And I don't have the vocabulary or the grammar to critique comics, and I wanted that. So Understanding Comics is a book I picked up to help with that. Ira suggested I actually read all of them. There's another one, Making Comics, and a third one, which I don't know the title to. But she seems to think that it'll help me with my continued reading of all the comics that I like Saga and reading Rocket Girl, which is fantastic.
I did pick up the first issue of that, did I tell you?
Yes, you mentioned it, and then did you like the first
issue? I did like it. I think it's one of those things where I might want to wait until the trade paperback comes out and then just get it all in one chunk.
Yeah, but you remember what you told me when I said I like to do that? You're like, but if you do that, there won't be a comic.
That is true. I should probably support it with my money. Or I should convince one of my other friends to support it with their money.
Which is what we're doing with
Watson and Holmes.
Yeah, that's what you had the first issue for. You're like, do you read this? Do you like it? You should get it. Like, ambush. It's an ambush. That's what you said. That's your style, right? I have a lot of people going, read this and read this. And I have tons of books. I started The Left Hand of Darkness by Ursula K. Le Guin. And I got like 30 pages. And then the new year happened. Whoops. I guess you could say I'm in the middle of that one. There was a really cute Lilo and Stitch story that got posted for Yuletide called Escape Velocity.
Not seeing it.
Lilo and Stitch is perfect. It's a perfect movie.
I've seen Lilo and Stitch. I've not seen the fic.
No, not yet, but you're going to, because I'm going to put it in your face. You can't escape it. I'm going to make you read it, and then I'm going to look to see if you kudoed it later and be like, she better have liked it, or else.
Or else we cannot be friends.
And then I reread another story yesterday called The Mostly Accidental Courtship of Dean Winchester, which continues to be one of my favorite Supernatural fanfics. It's perfect. Your silence is very telling.
Yes. You said it was a Supernatural fic, and it's just...
You're like this now, but soon, when we get further into our Supernatural rewatch, because we're only on episode 3, we don't have a lot of canon to work with. Soon you'll be like, I need happy fanfic. Please give me Rex. This is horrible. And my soul is crushed. You'll be begging. It's fine.
When I actually know who Castiel is beyond he found a liquor store and then he drank it.
Perfect.
That's the only episode I've seen with Castiel in it.
Castiel's great.
This is what I've heard.
But I mean,
don't know anything about him, so...
I got into the show for Dean, and I stayed for Castiel. Like if he ever leaves the show, I don't know. I don't think I'll. I mean, the show can't go on that much longer. They're on like season 9. But if he decides to not come back for season 10, I'm gonna be like
that. From what I hear, the series was supposed to end at the end of series 5.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch it, you see how they were gonna end it. And then they decided to come back because it was doing so well. I don't really know how that works.
People saw that it was making the money.
That's true.
And then
we continued from there. That's accurate. I'm glad I didn't quit because I think, from what I remember of the first seasons, which I'm obviously a little weak on because I haven't watched them in a while, is that the first seasons are good in some ways, but I think the later seasons are not better, just... more painful in more effective ways, I guess. And also, I don't really have to deal with
more painful stuff. In the sense of it causes you pain in your feelings, or more painful in a, oh god, why am I watching this?
The first one. And also, okay. Maybe like a little bit of the second one, possibly.
You take me to all the nicest shows.
I know. I treat you right. And then, let's see, the day before yesterday, I watched Sleepy Hollow with Rose. It was a haunted house episode. It was terrifying. I know that Sleepy Hollow is supposed to be dark fantasy horror, but it often doesn't get that scary for me. But this episode was just like, oh, right, we should scare the shit out of her. And they did, and I had nightmares, so that was great.
Ooh.
If you like horror, I totally recommend episode 9 of Sleepy Hollow for season. Terrifying. Also, it's heart-wrenching, and it punches you in the soul. So that happened.
Do you need to watch all of Sleepy Hollow? Because Tumblr is assuring me that it's great. Slightly race whale, but great.
Yeah, they mess up. But here's my thing about race whale on the show. They have 3 main characters who are black.
Which was the main reason why it's like, yeah, I will accept they've got some stuff wrong, but also this.
So the no show, and the race whale was Native American. And I remember going, well, this is not good. Did nobody think... I don't know why they thought it was a good idea. Because it's just part of our cultural narrative to shortcut that shit. So it's really easy for people to not be thoughtful about it. So, but the creative team on this show seems really willing to listen to the criticisms. They seem really open to engaging with their fan base in, like, respectful ways. I'm going to give them the benefit of doubt because Lord knows I have screwed up on Native American appropriation and crap of the past. So you should watch it.
I'm going to. It's on my list.
I also spent the Christmas holiday and New Year's holiday where everybody else is out drinking on my couch watching terrible science fiction movies. Let's see.
Which ones?
I watched The Core with Aaron Eckhart and Hilary Swank. Do you remember that movie?
I'm not familiar with it.
Oh god, you should look
it up. Is this the one with the angels?
No, this is the one where they stop the... some scientific experiments end up stopping the core of the Earth from spinning, and they have to go into the center of the Earth to restart the core.
Now, I'm not a scientist.
I know, it's so bad.
But that sounds like bollocks.
But it's so good, you don't understand. It's so perfect.
Is this perfect? I can't even think of a comparison
is terrible. The science is just awful. It's not good. But you go into it for these characters. They're brilliant. It does suffer a little bit from like Smurfette principle and like token black dude. But I'm sorry. I love horrible science fiction movies that are so bad that they become great.
Sci-fi original level? Bad?
No.
Slightly better.
Slightly better. Better production quality. Much better acting. Stanley Tucci is in this movie. Okay. I
don't know who that is.
Oh, that's sad. We can no longer be... Okay, we're done. I'm done being your friend. How can you not know who that is? Look it up.
Okay, how do I spell the name?
Stanley Tucci. I know you know who this is because you're on Tumblr.
That... Is he the guy from Devil Wears Prada?
Maybe. I don't know that movie.
Oh, and he's the scientist from Captain America. Yes, I do know who he
is. Okay,
yes.
In, like, he elevates. And then I also watched The Day After Tomorrow. It was appropriate because everything is cold. This polar vortex thing, it sounds like a sequel to Sharknado, but it's real! I feel you judging me from over there. I feel it. You're like, what?
I've watched way worse movies. I can't judge anyone for their movie taste. Admittedly, this week I sat down and mainlined the last 2 Fast and Furious films again.
Again?
Yeah. When Fast and Furious 6 came out, me and my friends marathoned the first 5 and then went to see 6.
That's dedication to some car movies.
They're really good! Well, they're not, but they're so entertaining. Also, Gina Carano. If you don't like Gina Carano, I'm not sure we can be friends.
Where our friendship is over. I don't know who that is, but I'm sure it's fine. I haven't seen any of these movies, you understand. I missed the boat on them somehow, even though Sanders once told me, she's like, you should watch these, you will like these, I promise, you will like these a lot. But at that point, they were up to 4. I think 4 or 5. Of course, now there's going to be no more. 6 was the last one. It's very sad.
No, 7's the last one.
What do you mean 7's the last one?
I mean, they were pretty much in post-production when the actor died.
Well, 7's so the last they were... one then. No more movies, because that would just be tacky. Considering how he died, that was horrible.
Little bit, yeah.
We have great taste in media, Susan.
We do.
Excellent taste.
Hey, I watched Pacific Rim over Christmas.
That is.
That's at least one good movie.
Pacific Rim's great.
Possibly my favorite.
Did you end up, I posted the Pacific Rim podcast, and I posted on this huge collection of links to go with it, links we couldn't talk about. I ordered everybody to go click on them.
I'd already clicked on at least half of them.
That's great. That's perfect.
Nay, I've been following your blog. I have seen a lot of your Pacific Rim flailing.
I did get really excited.
I think they could see your Pacific Rim flailing from space.
That's accurate. Not enough. No shame. Pacific Rim is perfect. I think it needs to be given all the awards. And it needs to be a sequel immediately.
Well, there's theoretically going to be a sequel. Well, is Pacific Rim eligible for Hugos?
Yes, it is. It was a movie from last year. It's eligible in Best Dramatic Presentation, long form. Voting. Speaking of the Hugos, have you signed up to, have you bought your membership yet?
I've not been paid.
I need to send you money. And now I get email from all like the people going, you're buying votes! I won't. If I get you a supporting membership, you can pay me back and you can vote for whatever you want. I don't care. You can vote for the Wheel of Time if you want, the whole series. Because apparently, since the last book came out last year, somebody is running a campaign to nominate the whole series for in Best Novel.
You know, I know I've read the first one in the Wheel of Time, but I don't remember it.
You don't want to remember it. There's a reason you don't remember it. Your brain has blocked it out.
Okay. All I've got is there's a creepy thing with a kid bouncing a ball out of sync and then locked in a room where he's, like, getting electroshocked when the ball bounces.
What are you talking about?
No, wait, that's Wheel of Time.
No.
Not Wheel of Time. The other thing that sounds like Wheel of Time. Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah. That's a comparison I've never seen made before. Wow, that's fantastic.
They both start with W in time. I've never read Wheel of Time. I have zero interest in Wheel of Time.
Robert Jordan wishes he had written that book. He wishes he had written A Wrinkle in Time.
It's a 13-book series.
Yeah, no, apparently there is a rule in the Constitution that governs the Hugo Awards that says if it's the last book in the series, it makes the whole series eligible or something. I didn't really go and read in depth because I was too busy clawing my face off in horror, but it's apparently something that can happen. And I was on Twitter going, well, I really wish, like, I'd rather Neil Gaiman win, because at least then we're, like, honoring, you know, living white guys to the dead white guys. I mean, I know Brandon Sanderson helped with the last one, but I don't think of that as his series. I know he worked on it and he wrote it, but I don't think of it as his. I think of it as Robert Jordan's series. That happened. That's great. The Hugo season has begun.
No one's going to be able to vote for it unless they're already invested in the series.
Exactly.
No one's going to have time.
That's my problem with nominating something beyond a third book in a trilogy for the Hugo Award, because it's so inaccessible. And whatever, people can nominate and vote for whatever they want. But I just think it makes it harder for people to get involved when these series are getting nominated like into like book, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13. Also,
yeah, that's not accessible.
Why would you nominate a book that was so bad? A series that has so much. I have some feelings about The Wheel of Time, and that I liked it. I've been to the third book. Like, I got to book three. I reread the first three books several times because that's what my library had. And by the time I got to like the fourth and fifth book, I was like, "What the fuck is going on in these books? Why is this taking so long? It's so tedious and boring, and the writing is terrible." And so I eventually, like, I quit. Zach finished them. He finished them last year. And he was like, "No, it was great." I'm like, "Well, okay, Zach, if you say so." But I felt out of that series so early. And I just don't understand how people have the patience. I guess you really have to like epic fantasy. And I like epic fantasy, but if I'm going to, like, get invested into, like, a 13-book series, it's got to have more ladies.
Yeah, that's not... I haven't actually heard anything about the Wheel of Time series being any good for ladies at all, which is somewhat damning.
After book five, I lost it, so I don't know. And I read them so long ago that if I went back and read them now, I would probably just get pissed. I'm going to keep my nostalgic memory of the first two books as that I read as a teenager. Just, and like, keep them in a little pocket and not ruin it. Because I really liked those first three books. You know how you like a food that you had as a child and then you try it as an adult? And it ruins the memory of the food because it's so gross. You're like, how did I ever like this? Because your palate has matured. That's how I look at books I read as a kid. I like them, and I love them in a lot of ways, but I'm not going to reread them to see if I still like them, because that way lies woe and tears.
I've actually been quite lucky with my childhood favourites, because a lot of them have stood the test, except Enid Blyton. Enid Blyton does not stand.
So don't read Enid Blyton is what you're telling me. Don't do that.
No.
Madeline Elingle, her series, because it was really formative, I kept it, and I can still reread that, and I still get the same things out of it that I got as a kid. But I think that's really rare for me. I probably won't risk it going back and rereading, because I read just a lot of terrible shit as a kid, because I just didn't have access. I was reading, because I was reading up on my parents' shelves, so, Louis L'Amour westerns. God, I read so many of those as a kid. They were terrible. Even as a kid, they were terrible, so I can't even think about what they'd be like now.
See, my one of those is Terry Goodkind. If you don't like epic fantasy, you won't like Terry Goodkind, but it's like 3/4 epic fantasy and then 1/4 BDSM.
Oh.
And that's really strange to read when you're like 11.
Whatever, I read this book. I can't find this book. Like, I've looked for it. I looked for references of this book that I read. It was called Make Believe Children, and I don't know who it was by, but it was on my mom's shelf. I picked it up because I was bored, and it was that book, or I could read, 5 zillion astrology books. But I chose this book called Make Believe Children about this child, about this little girl who went to show business and was, sexually assaulted and raped, and there was, lots of, there was caning, and, it was horrible. This book was horrible. And this is what I read as an 11-year-old kid.
And, oh, God.
And I'm just like, why? what? And I was 11 years old. I didn't understand what was happening in this book, right, until much later when I looked back and went, holy shit, that was fucked up. When I talk about my childhood development as a reader, it's like I went from, Hooked on Phonics to Edgar Allan Poe to, hardcore S&M fiction, I guess. That's my graduation.
This explains a lot about the both of us.
Yes, it does. I think I turned out okay, though, so it didn't hurt me none. Books are safe. It's fine. So, please don't, back to the point, please don't nominate All Time for best novel. Don't do it.
I wasn't planning to, okay, on the grounds of I've not read them.
Don't. No, I'm just, general plea, if you're listening to this, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go down that dark path.
Life is too short to enforce the wheel of time upon everyone else.
I can't really say that because I try to enforce One Piece onto everybody quite often. And I'm pretty sure that's got 60 volumes and is still ongoing. I don't know if I could use the length.
Well, I can because I'm not trying to enforce One Piece on everyone.
Yet.
Don't do it.
Yet.
You've been trying to get me to read One Piece as long as I've known
that's
you.
That's true, but one day you're going to give in. One day you're going to get there. It's just...
I got to volume 3 last time.
You're young. You got to be older, maybe. Maybe in 3 years. I'll try again. It'll be fine. You'll like it at that point.
I like it. Oh, your estimate was a bit conservative. Apparently it's 72 volumes.
Oh, great. So I'm just really behind. I'm behind. I stopped. I think I stopped in volume 40-something, 50, on my second reread, so now I'm reading it again to catch up. Wow, that's a lot of manga.
You're going to be there for a while.
That's true, and it's not over. And there was apparently a time skip at some point that Rose was really excited about, and she's like, you have to get here, it's so great.
And yeah, everyone does the level up time skip.
I promised her, so I have to keep that promise.
So I can't recommend any more manga to you until you've already done that.
Yes. I mean, you can recommend it and I'll put it on my list. I have Skip Beat Now, I have Full Metal Alchemist on my list.
Yes, read that. Read that now.
No, I can't. I didn't tell you.
But it's so much shorter. Rose will understand.
No, she'll come and she'll throttle me to death. I can't.
But then she'll have come to America to see you.
She lives in America. I mean, she lives in Oregon.
Rose was the Australian one.
No, she lives in Oregon.
Okay, who am I thinking of?
I don't know. I have a lot of, I have a lot of people, don't I?
But she'd still have come to see you. That's just, admittedly, to strangle you, but...
Yeah, and then she'll strangle me for having to come and see me. That's the point. She doesn't want to come to Arkansas. Nobody wants to come here. It's like a black hole. Suck. You get here, you can't get out. It's a trap. Don't do it. So, okay.
Go to your house. Bake to death.
I have air conditioning. It's fine. You won't bake to death. So, listen, are you going to the Hugo's this year? Are you going to go?
I want to, but I don't think I can afford it, much to my sadness. Because I'm getting married this year, and I'm not sure I can convince Lex that he wants to spend 230 quid for us to go and do a sci-fi convention where I will buy another... where I will essentially bankrupt us both buying all of the books. I don't think that would be a good honeymoon.
No, probably not. Immediate divorce. Married for 2 weeks, divorce over books. Irreconcilable differences over your personal library.
You say that. We are considering going to Hae-on-Y for our honeymoon, and I know you don't know what that is, but it's a tiny town that is 90% bookshops. They have a castle. The castle is a bookshop.
Why would he ever agree to this? That sounds like serious, like a serious problem. That sounds like it could lead to marriage counseling.
Because he loves me, and because he likes books too, just not maybe as much as I do.
So whenever I come visit, I'm just going to be like, you're going to be like, welcome to our house, this is your bed. If you lift up the little sheet thing, it's just made of books. That's going to happen. A bed made of hardcovers with a padding on it.
That would be progress. We are sleeping on a mattress on the floor. You're judging me now,
no,
aren't you?
No, I'm not. Not at all. Why would I judge you? Come on. You doubt me so often. It's really... it hurts.
Your tears are delicious.
So yeah, the Pacific Rim's eligible for Hugo. What else did you like that's eligible? I want you to read Ancillary Justice, which is also eligible.
I've read that.
You did? Who?
I spoke to you about it.
I don't remember. I forgot.
Three times.
When did this happen? I don't remember. I'll have to like go and look at my IM log to remember that conversation. Was it like late?
I don't know, but I tweeted you to say I'd finished it, and you were like, yay! And then I came on to G-Talk and told you I'd finished it, and you were like, yay!
Apparently, I have a list. I have some people I want to read this book that I'm just losing track of who's read it and who hasn't. It's perfect. It's a perfect book.
It's just that you keep forgetting that I've read it.
I'm sorry. You read it. I'm going to remember this time. I won't forget. I won't forget this time. I promise.
I've read it, and I love it, and I am planning to nominate it.
Peer pressure.
Tried to convince my sister to read it, because in Mass Effect, there's a race that's monogendered and presented as female. And we were talking about the difficulties you'd have with with language, even with automatic translators. It's like, ooh, if you like that, here is a book. Couldn't get her into it.
Jill, what are you doing?
Not reading Ancillary Justice.
Jill, you're breaking my heart here.
It's fine. You'll play Mass Effect and hate it, and then me and Jill can be sad.
How do you know I'm going to hate Mass Effect? How do you know? I might like it.
You might. Have you ever played a shooting game? As far as I know, you don't play them.
I played Tomb Raider.
You'll probably do better at Mass Effect than I did.
Really bad at it. I have it on easy mode, and I'm like...
I have Tomb Raider now, by the way.
I'm like, I'll... The first time I played it, I had it on easy mode, and we got to this point in the game where you get stuck in a bear trap, and you have to, like, and wolves are after you, and you have to shoot them. And it's in slow motion, so it's not hard. But I couldn't kill the wolves. I kept missing them. Like, how does this work? It was the worst. I'm so bad at that game. And that, like, when we got toward the end of the game, the shooting got so intense that I just had to, like, hand the controller to Zach and be like, okay, you gotta shoot these guys and get me through this part. I can't do it. I'm a terrible gamer. If I could just shoot everything with, like, flaming arrows, it'd be fine, but you can't really do that most of the game. Sometimes you have to get up close. That's just unfortunate.
Yeah, I can't shoot things. I am so bad at shooting things.
Why did you play these games, then?
Mass Effect. It has wheels that stop time while you select powers or guns. and you can also use them to stop time while you aim your gun. And that is how I Mass Effect.
You have a time turner, apparently.
Yes, basically. I stop time, blow it up with my superpowers, and then shoot it, or stay behind cover and let my party shoot it. Okay. All of the books I bought in, well, no, a good 50 to 75% of books I bought in 2013 were because you were on Twitter going, ah, this book. Yeah, that's how I got into Leviathan Wakes. That's how Not Gone Girl, The Shining Girl happened. That's how Ancillary Justice happened. You rage about things on Twitter and then I go, huh, Nate likes this thing.
Do you buy the things I rage about, like that I hate, but then turn out to love?
It depends if I can actually tell how you're feeling about it. Like, I couldn't tell whether you were enjoying Leviathan Wakes or whether you wanted people to read it so that they understood your pain.
Both.
I did like Leviathan Wakes.
No, I did. It was a good book. I mean, like, I had some problems with it, but it was a really good book.
Miller is my favorite. I'm sorry.
Oh my god, we're going to disagree forever.
But yes, Miller is my favorite.
It's okay.
I disagree with you.
You can like him. It's not that I don't like him. I just think he's an asshole. You can like somebody and think they're an asshole. Hello. One of my favorite fictional characters is Dean Winchester, who is a douchebag. I just like other characters more. Like, you know?
Naomi.
I'm starting to think that I actually like the evil space goo. I like that guy.
Good, because it looks like that's becoming plot point important.
Yeah. Have you read the second one yet?
I have read the second one. I've got the third one, but not finished it.
I started the second one and got really... There was a lot of stuff going on, and I had too much stuff going on at work, and I can't read a really busy book while it's busy at work, so that didn't happen. But I'm gonna. I think I'm gonna get into them and finish them this year. Because there's like a fifth one coming out or something?
Is there?
I think. Or is it a fourth one? Maybe it's fourth. There's a lot of them. There's Leviathan Wakes, Caliban's War, Abaddon's Gate.
Abaddon's Gate is as far as I've got.
And then there's another, maybe it's the fourth one, Sybilla Byrne.
No idea.
And then there's two novellas that go with them.
Okay, this is apparently a massive franchise that I accidentally wandered into.
Yes, you did. You're welcome. I know that you enjoy when I...
God damn it, Nay.
Sorry! My bad.
And this is why we're friends.
Yes. we sneak each other into franchises. I mean, Ancillary Justice is a trilogy. The Raven Boyd starts off a 4-book series.
God damn it!
You're welcome.
I thought all of these were standalone books.
No,
and then...
no, they're not. I don't do. Does anyone...
That's the sound of someone who's read these and gone, oh god, if they are a standalone book, things will die.
You're welcome for introducing you to several series that are not completed. You're welcome.
Thanks, Nay.
No, so now we're going to talk about our reading goal for 2014.
Woohoo!
Because we have some, right? We got. Some,
we do.
We have some goals.
We have reading goals. What are your reading goals, Nay?
Oh man, you're making me go first. This is the worst.
I can go first if you want.
That's cool. So last year, Lizberg posted a thing on Tor.com called "Reading and Radicalization" in her "Sleeps with Monsters" column, and she challenged people to read women for a six like new like books by new. New writers, new moon writers for 6 months. In the article, she talked about how it had drastically changed her perspective because there's so much writing about women out there. And she said, if you don't believe me that it changes your perspective, go ahead and do it and come back and tell me how it went and how you feel. Now, I can't obviously do that because a lot of new books can get very expensive very fast. So what I'm just going to do is spend 6 months reading women writers, you know, like of any kind, no matter when they were published. Then go back and tell her how it went.
I do remember that someone who challenged her and you about this did end up doing that for a while.
Really?
Or who? Doing something similar.
Who was it?
Was
and
it
where?
Justin? Doing something where he was trying for gender parity.
That was Aiden. He did that way early, way before us. Aiden did that. He did it. He made it a goal in January of last year to do it. He wrote a big article about it, and it started a bunch of wank. And then the internet fell on Stefan's head. Sorry, Stefan, about that. I really feel bad. And then he wrote a follow-up about it for Smugglerbus, I think. Yeah, he started that way before. Because it's been an ongoing conversation. And mm-hmm. I think he did okay. Of course, you always have those people who, like, come out of the woodwork to be like, quotas are terrible! Like, you talk about representation, and all I hear is quota! You say, how do you spell representation? They go, well, I can spell quota!
But I don't pay attention to the gender of the people writing it, only the quality of the writing.
There are so many people I will, like, have stopped following. Like, I'm just legit cut them out. I don't follow them on Twitter or their blogs. I'm just like, you know what? I can't handle that level of ignorance. I can't. I don't, there's not enough hours in the day. You just do your thing over there. Maybe one day I'll be like, oh, I was wrong, and maybe there's a different perspective here I could see, and we can be bros. But right now, no. I read really widely in SF fandom. So if you're, you know, using really tired, if you're hitting bingo squares when this topic comes up every time, there's a problem.
Do we actually have the bingo card for this
yet?
We don't
yet. Possibly we should have one. We should have a bingo card for this debate that goes around.
Should
and...
definitely have it ready for coverage of women in SF.
Oh, God, I'm so behind. I don't know if I'm going to finish. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to catch up with One Piece. I have a nonfiction
novel. 72 volumes of it.
Shh, don't talk about it. You said it. No, I can't. Not in my brain went 72 volumes and started having anxiety. Why did you do that, Susan? 72 volumes.
I'm very sorry.
It's okay. And I'm going to start reading some nonfiction, like fan studies, because Claire's got me all into the fan study stuff now. I have the fic that just came out in December. I have Battles of the Sexes in Science Fiction. And then I'm going to also read some supernatural books. Like Fandom at the Crossroads is one. And there's some other ones written by the chair of the journal committee of the OTW. And
ooh, cool.
One of the staffers, maybe, that they wrote together. And I'm going to read that, too. And then I got a bunch of recommendations from Sean Duke for, like actual SF fandom, like his accounts and history that he was kind enough to share with me. So I have this huge list of recommendations of nonfiction and I'm money to buy them. I have $175 and that's where probably most of it will end up going.
When you said supernatural fandom, I did kind of just assume that you meant the novelizations, and I'm very sorry to everyone involved.
No, not at all. There's academic work on supernatural. It cracks me up. I have to read it.
This doesn't surprise me. There is that much academic work on Star Trek, The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah, that's some of the other probably... stuff I'm going to read. Like, read Claire gave me some suggestions. Boldly Writing, which was some Star Trek fan history. There's a lot of fan history out there. I just need to get it and put it in my brain.
My reading goals for next year are, you know how everyone was doing the gender parity thing a while ago?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and do that, because I don't usually do that, because I read a lot of women writers. So I kind of go, oh, I don't need to track this, and oh god, I forgot to track this. And so now I'm going, next year? This year? It's 2014, Susan.
Mm-hmm, it is. We're in it. 8 days. 8 days into it. Congratulations. Welcome to 2014.
Woo. I'm going to try for the gender parity. I am going to try and read a lot of women authors. My specific goal is I want to read a lot of classic fiction by women. Because part of what How to Suppress Women's Writing showed me was I've not read any of the classics by women. I've read Jane Eyre, Pride and Prejudice, Emma. I'm also going to try and get through some of the classic sci-fi. I've not read any of the big names sci-fi writers. Not read Asimov, not read Philip K. Dick. Because I've read a lot about the big sci-fi authors.
Asimov, Heinlein, Dick, and who else?
James Tiptree Jr. and Joanna Russ and their contemporaries. So basically, I want to educate myself.
It's a good goal.
It is. And it leads to a lot of reading and probably a lot of reservations at my library. But yeah, I'm also going to be trying to get through some of the books I already own, because I have a lot of books in my house
that I should probably read.
It
should be a goal for both of us to read stuff on our shelves.
Well, my goal is to try and get through at least one book that I that I own that I've paid money for each week, and then I can either keep it or get rid of it. I am going for crazy numbers of books to read this year.
And by crazy numbers, you mean...
I want to try and get 150 books read this year, stretch goal of 200 if I can manage it. Crazy numbers, like I said.
I read 27 novels last year. I didn't track my fanfic, which I have been doing this year. So next year when I go to like look at my reading totals, I'm going to be able to tell when I was reading fanfic because I'm saving it. I'm not going to make it public by any means, but I'll have like the anonymized data. Thanks for coming on and talking with me. I had fun. I always have fun. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I had fun as well.
I'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.